you have anyone in your life that you look at from time to time and you think, that guy or that girl, they get all the breaks? There's even a little jealousy, a little envy there. You all know that person that you roll your eyes toward as they catch break after break after break. Maybe it's a classmate that doesn't study at all for a test, and you bent over backwards studying for 2 weeks straight, and they make a 95 and you make a 65. Maybe some of you have a coworker that is just that guy, always seemingly in the good graces of the boss while slacking off and you having to carry their weight when no one is looking. Perhaps you feel like your life is oftentimes sitting in traffic and your lane is not moving, so you move over to a lane that is moving only for that lane to stop and then the lane you were in begin to go forward. Or perhaps you feel like your life is like Monopoly, where every time you land on the chance card, you always draw the go to jail card, while someone else seems to always get the advance to go, collect $200 card. We chuckle about it, but many of us do have that mindset, whether towards another person or even towards God, where we say, I wish I had this, or if only I could catch this break. So you walk in today, you read Psalm 1, and you see words like, blessed is the one, and whatever they do prospers, and you think to yourself, okay, well, how do I sign up for that? I will sign up for this program where whatever I do prospers. And it seems to be the kind of thing that God promises. In fact, I would imagine if we were to survey our prayers over the last week, none of us went to the Lord in prayer and said, you know, Lord, I got to be honest, you have blessed me too much. I'm dealing with a problem of overblessing today. No, our prayers oftentimes reveal that we struggle with what the Lord is doing in our lives. And we even feel as if, yes, Lord, you know and you are wise in what you give to your children. But if I'm honest, I could use a little more. Throughout the Psalms, we see what it means to be blessed. This describes not necessarily material prosperity, but it describes the joyful state of being near to the Lord. So to the psalmist, to be blessed is not to be able to say, God gave me something good, but to say, God has given me himself and I have found him to be good. Blessing comes to those who make much of God's word, while judgment will come to those who make little of his word. Let me say that again. This is what I will argue from our text this morning. Blessing comes to those who make much of God's word, while judgment will come to those who make little of his word. First, in verse 1, we see the blessing that is promised. But it begins somewhat oddly negatively. Verse 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Scholars debate what, if any, poetic intention there is for the psalmist here. But the principle that we see is that the psalmist is aware of some form of competing authorities, competing voices that his audience might listen to. They might sway the heart. And so is it a question for the psalmist of, are you going to listen to the conventional wisdom of your day and believe blessing is found in whatever the voices that surround you ascribe blessing to? Or are you going to listen to God and to his word and know that to be blessed is to be the one who draws near to him through his word? See, the psalmist wants his audience to avoid being given to trusting in wisdom apart from which God is the source of. You see this in verse 2. Let's look at the second part of verse 1 and then into verse 2. This is the one who does not stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You know, the danger that we face when we read a passage like this is we can say something like, I'm good with God, I read the Bible, I keep my nose clean, so therefore does that mean that God is obligated to give me blessing? First of all, if that is our attitude, oftentimes our notion or our concept of blessing is probably mistaken. To be blessed is to just to be near to God in rejoicing in intimacy and knowing Him through His Word. But when we see a word here that is a beautiful word, but it causes us quite a problem if we're not careful. It's at verse 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. The psalmist doesn't say blessed is one who just reads it, but it means to delight in His law. Back probably 10 years ago now, my family and I were on vacation with Amanda's family, and we went to a movie. We went to see, do you remember the Russell Crowe version of Les Mis? I don't know, Les Miserables? We went and saw that as a family, and it was 2.5 hours of Russell Crowe singing, and it was as miserable as it sounds. And there were people there that enjoyed it, but the whole movie, I was looking at my watch like, is this thing broken? It's not moving. Like time froze. But then here's the most troubling part about all of it. When the movie was over and we all walked out of the theater, I'm looking up and I see people streaming out of the theater, some of whom have tears just washing down their face. They were deeply moved by this movie. Meanwhile, I'm thinking I'm receiving cruel and unusual punishment by having to attend it. Here's the thing that I'm getting at. This is the difference is those who delight in something versus those who just receive, those who just acknowledge. Perhaps you've thought of this in regards to your intake of the Bible as regards to a neighbor's or a fellow church member's intake of the Bible, where they seem to have a joy in God and in His Word, or they seem to have a trust in God and in His Word, just that you pick up on in conversation, where they seem as if their life is truly anchored to and built upon the foundation of God's Word. And you look at it and you say, okay, there's some wisdom here, there's some good things to know, but I don't know if I really believe this as deeply as this other person. Perhaps a fitting application of this text from Psalm 1 today would be for you to, as you go about the rest of your day, as you go about the week, pray, Lord, would You help me to delight in Your Word? Would You change my heart, my disposition towards Your Word? Even ask a fellow Christian in our church family, say, my heart has grown cold towards the Word of God. Would You pray for me that it would be warmed? Would you be willing to meet with me from time to time to read the Bible and to talk about it together? We see this not just because we want to be Bible people, but because we want to be people who delight in God and delight in His Word, and this is how we do it. The Bible is a gift of God's grace from us. It is the way by which God has revealed Himself to us. To use another illustration from when I pursued Amanda for many months before she was willing to give me a date, and it's true. It was like, our first date was 16 months after we met, and we were friends, and we would hang out in the same friend circles, but she was just not interested in going on any dates with me. But we would text message every once in a while, and I would like parse these text messages I would receive from her, trying to see, like, is there hidden clues here that her heart is warming towards me? And the point of that I'm getting to is that one, that object of our heart's affection, of our heart's desire, if they have communicated to us, we are going to want to hear from them. And we are going to be transformed by what they say. And so, you see this connection here between God's Word and our heart delighting in Him. So pray that God would stir your heart and warm your heart in greater delight in Him. And now you might say, okay, how does this happen? Because you can't turn on a switch to delight. It has to be a transformation of your heart. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But look at this, verse 3. This one who is blessed by the Word, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. in all that he does, he prospers. Thankfully, verse 3 doesn't say, blessed is the one who knows all of the Bible. Blessed is the one who can win the Bible memorization game. No, it said, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, the new Christian who is opening the Bible only for the second time in their life is far more blessed in knowing the God of the Bible than the scholar who knows Hebrew, who knows Aramaic, who knows Ugaritic, who knows Greek, and has studied this book for 60 years just as dead old literature. But the power of this book is not in the fact that it's just a history-making book or a literary force. The power of it is that God joyfully gives himself to us through his word. So to meditate upon his word is to think deeply of him. It's to allow his word to collide with your heart, with your burdens, with your worries, with your life stage, and to say, God, your word, it must transform me. We read this and we learn of our God. And in the Bible, we read of the grace of God that was lavished upon us through Jesus Christ. In the Bible, we see the holiness of God. We learn, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. In the Bible, we see the Lord's love and compassion for the widow, for the orphan, for the sojourner, for the vilest of sinners even. We read of this God who put the stars in the sky, who told the mountains how high they can go, who tells every drop of rain that it only falls by His power and by His hand. In the Bible, we see a God of justice, of righteousness, of wrath, who executes perfect justice in and through the earth while pouring out grace upon His people. And in the Bible, ultimately and fully, we see the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us, who is the one that our hearts, with all of their burdens, with all of their fears, with all of their anxieties, the Lord Jesus, through His Word, invites us to come and rest in Him. And we only know Him through His Word. This is what it means to be blessed. This is the one who is like a tree planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in its season. And so, as God gives us Himself by His Word, and we see His love, His holiness, His grace, His justice, His righteousness, His compassion, all of these things, He works within us to bear fruit that would be like what you are drinking from. You know, we guard our diets, or we should guard our diets. We should eat healthy because we know what comes into us is what is going to transform us, or is going to be about our health, and is what is going to come from us. And so when we place the Word of God in this position of authority over us and we begin to be transformed by God, it is going to work itself out into our thoughts, into our hands, into our hearts, into our minds, into our words, into our attitudes and dispositions towards those around us. So the one who prospers is not the one who has great gain because of God's Word, but the one who has great transformation by the hand of God through His Word. So when you read the Bible early in the morning, or late at night before bed, or with a fellow Christian, or even in our gathering here this morning, or participation in a small group, this is what God is doing in all of these seemingly insignificant times. He is preparing you to dwell in His presence throughout eternity. Do you see that? God is in the business right now, dear Christian, of preparing you to see Him and to be overwhelmed in joy and delighting in His presence for all of eternity. And how is He preparing us for this? In fellowship with one another and through His Word that is the means by which He transforms us. Now, I want to pause because it's possible that, well, I know that some of us might hear such promises of God's Word and feel a dose of skepticism. You look back upon various instances in your Christian life and you say, yeah, I've been, hopefully not literally, but metaphorically, punched in the face a few times. I've gone to the school of hard knocks when it comes to following Christ. I've experienced heartbreak, disappointment, rejection, betrayal, you name it. Stephen, how can you say that this word is transformative? Well, perhaps the greatest thing you need to do is be reminded of this and say, Lord, help me to begin to hope in you again through his word. And this is where the beauty of the fellowship of the church informs us in this hope. Because I'm not going to break confidences, but there are various people in this room that I have talked to in the last week, in the last month, who have shared with me stories of whether it recently in their life or of a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago, where the world was just running them over. And the Lord in his grace sustained them in hope in him through his word. The preciousness of God to us is often revealed when the world is beating us to a pulp. When life is running us down, that is when his word is most precious and beautiful to us. We don't go look to be run down, don't get me wrong, but there is a nearness to the fellowship of our Lord through his word when life is hard. And I think part of that is because what is the path that our Lord Jesus took? It was a path of suffering where he gave himself even to the point of death, and that we might have fellowship with him through his sufferings. You know, perhaps you are not yet a Christian and you're trying to figure out this Christianity thing and what it means to know and to serve the Lord. May I encourage you to resolve to take the next 3 months, the next 6 months, the next year. Say, if I'm going to make a healthy evaluation of this Christianity thing, I'm going to dive deep into his word, into God's word, into the Bible. And I'm going to see whether or not this is it. Don't make a determination based on anything other than that. Fellowship with him through his word. Come to know him through his word. And come to know him through the gathered church body. And you will find that he will begin this work of transforming you. But now there is a converse to this. There's a converse, verse 4 and following. The wicked are not so. So that you've had the contrast of those who prosper like a tree planted by streams of water, but then the wicked are like the chaff that the wind drives away. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You know, these verses are not like what we would put on the sign outside of our building. We have a road sign out there. Every once in a while, we put signs out various times during the year, like for the Holidays Fair or for Christmas Eve. But we're not going to put a sign out that says, please visit our church. Psalm 1:4, the wicked are not so. They're like chaff the wind drives away. They will not stand in the judgment. They'll be wiped out by God. No, that's not that's an unsettling message. But it's a true message. So who is the wicked one? The wicked is the one who does verse 1. They stand in the counsel of the wicked. They stand in the way of sinners. They sit in the seat of scoffers. This is the one who, this life, it's all there is to them. These 70, 80, 90 years, where this is what they build their life upon. The pursuits of their soul, the desires of their heart, the goals of great material gain or the goals of great praise from other people. And this is what they believe to be of greatest value. Whereas the life of the blessed one is spent in preparation to prosper in the presence of Christ. The wicked one's life is a mist, blown away like chaff. The life spent in pursuit of my dreams, of my plans. The life spent listening to the voice that the voices on TV or the voices in social media or the voices of the world that tell me what my life should be about or that give me the counsel of the world according to this day, according to this age, all the while mocking the Lord and saying that God in his word has nothing to speak to our times. This is the wicked one. And they are like, if you went out this morning and you took a breath and you saw the mist, the steam that came out of your mouth and then evaporated immediately. That is what the life is like for the one who does not know the Lord, who does not draw near to him through Christ, who does not prosper by his hand through him. You know, this text from Psalm 1 is sobering for a couple of reasons. First, it's literally right at the front of Israel's hymn book. This is what the Psalms were. They were Israel's hymn book. They didn't have PowerPoint. They didn't print out words like this. They had the Psalm, and they would sing the Psalms. So this serves as a warning to not presume upon the grace of God just because you are close to the covenant people of God. Dear one gathered here today, you may be here regularly, and you may have been a part of the church for decades. But ask yourself, are you the one who walks in the counsel of the wicked, or are you the one who delights in the law of the Lord? And you might say, okay, well, how do I diagnose this? Well, here's how you diagnose this. It's not a solution that is found inside of you. It's a solution that is found outside of you, and it transforms you internally. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We as Christians, to be a Christian is to look upon Jesus Christ and to trust in Him and not in ourselves. Not in our strength, not in our morality, not in our good deeds, but to look to Him. You see, the Bible tells us that we are like this one who is wicked, who will be driven away in the wrath and judgment of God. But God in His grace provides salvation through Jesus Christ, who came and He was not a sinner like we are, but He bore the penalty for our sins on the cross, that in Him we might be made, we might experience and be transformed by the grace of God, by the love of God, by the welcome of God into His grace, into His glory, into His presence, into His fellowship, where He adopts us as daughters and sons of the Most High. Through Jesus Christ, we have been transformed from wicked to treasured possessions, from rebels to sons and daughters. And in Jesus Christ, you have the hope that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the hope for us is not that we can shake off our wickedness like we knock the dust or the snow off our boots when we come inside, but the hope for us is the Lord Jesus, who when we look upon Him and place faith in Him and repent of our sins, He does this work that we see He has already actually begun, where He transforms us and gives us a new heart where we delight in Him. I've been given permission to use this illustration. Some of you have heard this illustration before. I might be in trouble with Amanda for the text message and the Les Mis comments earlier. I don't think I'll get in trouble with Jonathan, our beloved brother Jonathan here, who tells the story of 8 years ago. He did not want even a simple decorative cross hung up in his apartment. He had no use for God, no use for religion, no use for Christianity. And the Lord, over the years, did this work in him where He transformed him to hope in Him. Now this one who didn't want anything to do with God, he did not wake up one day and say, I need something new. The Lord broke through the bonds of his life and gave him himself and made him new. And now this one who wanted nothing to do with the cross and didn't want one hung in his apartment, he takes refuge in Christ under the cross. And he knows his sins have been atoned for at the cross. And he rejoices in Him. This is a heart change that we don't muster. It's not a turning over a new leaf in our life. It's receiving a new heart from our dear Lord. We're going to hear a story of this. We're going to hear this next week, or the next 2 weeks. We're going to have baptisms. We had to postpone one today because the weather, and we wanted folks to be able to be here to see it. But in a week, we're going to baptize Dave Snowdale, and he's going to share the story before his baptism of how the Lord brought him to new life. A week after that, we're going to baptize Peter Sabian, and we're going to hear the same story again and again. We heard this in Rachel's baptism a few months ago. We heard it in Steve McClain. These are stories of God's grace where He does this supernatural work of turning our hearts to hope and rest in Him, turning us from our wickedness and rebellion against Him, and bringing us to His grace. And so we say, blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the weary parent, worn out, wondering about bills, wondering about the kids, but her delight and her hope is in the law of the Lord, and on His law she meditates day and night. Blessed is the student who feels the burden of academic or athletic or social expectations, but he delights on the law of the Lord, and he knows that in the Bible there is life everlasting. Blessed is a senior adult who looks back upon the past with a sense of nostalgia, even a sense of feeling of wasted opportunities, or even asking wistfully, where did the time go? But you look forward to one day, maybe soon, being joyfully in the presence of the Lord and delighting in Him for eternity. Blessed is the weary saint, downtrodden, despairing over your own sin, feeling, I will never measure up to my Lord. Well, dear one, Christ came to deliver you from the judgment that rested upon you, and He places you in that joyful state of being near to God through His Word. Blessed is the church that says we are banking it all upon His Word. His Word will be at the center of our life. His Word will be at the center of our relationships, and we will bear fruit and ultimately prosper through this Word, even amidst the uncertainty of what the future may hold for us. We will humble ourselves under it. We will delight ourselves in receiving it. We will orient our life around it, because in this Word we find joy everlasting, and we see and we know our God. And we hold tightly to His Word, knowing that one day we will see His face and He will hold tightly to us.